Okay, you're in my ears. How's that?
Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction, and free shipping, and that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/acast, and up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/acast.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
You're listening to Sapnin Podcast.
Sapnin!
Sapnin!
You're listening to episode 78 of Sapnin Podcast with myself, Sean Smith, and my good friend, Morgan Richards, who's also known in the rap community as Mo Dick.
Yes, it's me, Morgan Richards. And not only does this episode feature a fantastic guest, but contains conversations of existential meditation.
Right, our guest this week is the fantastic Benjamin Langford Biss.
Yes.
Formerly of As It Is and now currently going solo.
Yes, his second time on the podcast, returning. I am so excited we get a lovely chance to catch up with him.
Yes, yes, yes. It was super good to see him. The last time he was on was when As It Is played Bridgend and we went and made fun of the venue, and we're very sorry for that. But yeah, this week it was very nice to catch up with Ben, who has a solo album out today.
Yes, today. So, of course, one of the founding members of As It Is, but he's been extremely quiet since leaving the band in November 2019. 6 months later now, he's with us to celebrate the release of his new solo project, Bleak Soul. His debut album, or mini LP, whatever you want to call it, Existential Meditation, is released worldwide today, and we're going to be getting all the exclusive gossip with him and just partying this epic celebration.
Yes. Thank you again to Ben for coming on. It was a lovely, lovely chat. I know he's a bit nervous about this release, but yeah, he sent us an advanced copy of the album, and yeah, I enjoyed it. I really enjoyed it.
Yeah, I've been listening to it quite a lot. There's a whole eclectic of different influences and styles, and I think it's going to surprise a lot of fans, but it's such a good release. Everything on this is completely independent as well. The last 6 months, he's just been working away on it, and he's going to be telling us the really whole process of how these songs were made, how long he's had some of them, how he was a bit afraid to dive back into music. And of course, we talk about everything there is to do with As It Is, from him leaving the band to the final tour, life afterwards, and his fondest memories.
Yep, one of the best named final tours I've ever come across since This Is It, Is It. So, yeah.
You love a good tour name.
I do like a good tour name.
So thanks again for Ben to taking time out of his schedule and everything to talk to us. It's a lovely conversation. Really get a lot of insight into his musical mind and everything that's gone on. And as I said, he's been so quiet. I think it's quite refreshing. A lot of people are going to be very surprised with everything he's got to say.
Yes, they are.
And Sean, speaking of surprising things to say...
Ah! Oh, what?
Oh.
I thought he wanted me to surprise somebody, sorry.
You can surprise us with a follow on our social media pages.
Oh, please do. I love a good surprise slash follow. Yeah, check us out on Twitter and Instagram at SappeningPod. That's at SappeningPod.
Yes, keep up to date with everything that is going on in the world of Sappening Pod and interact with us. If there's any questions or guest suggestions, or if you just want to tell us how good slash bad we're doing at this talk in malarkey, at SappeningPod on Twitter and Instagram.
It's not good. It's not good what we're doing, but we're having a bloody go. We're trying, aren't we? And that,
we
you know
are
what?
Trying.
God loves a tryer.
He does.
That's what I heard.
Allegedly, anyway.
Allegedly, my lawyers have told me to say, just in case, Jesus and his dad try and sue us. or Allah, or any of them. Yeah, sorry, buddy.
There's a lot of them. Anyway, let's not go down that road. But
let's go down that road. Get this is the... No. Anyway, carry on. Sorry,
speaking of things to go and check out, though, why not, if you're on the internet already, you're listening to us, you're checking out Ben's new album, go to patreon.com/sapnin.
If you've enjoyed any of the other 77, 78, 2 million episodes of this absolute nonsense, thank you very much, first off. But also, if you feel like helping out and supporting the podcast in any way, check out patreon.com/sapnin. And there's loads of different tiers to choose from. Every single cent goes back into keeping this podcast together. So thank you very much.
Yeah, so Patreon, if you're not aware, Patreon is a platform for you to help the creators you like. We offer loads of different exclusives on there. There's video messages, Skype calls and all that you can get with us. And load of bonus content we're going to be putting on that page exclusively as well. So make sure you go and check it out. Every tier gets you into our wonderful community group. And it's a giant laugh and a perfect thing to be involved with in this weird isolation bollocks.
Yes, I've never found such a supportive group of people in my life. And I was including when... I know I've never mentioned this on the podcast, but I used to be in a band called The Blackout.
Oh, yeah.
And, yeah, this is the most supportive community I've ever been a part of that we've created somehow just by talking bollocks every week on this. So thank you very much. If you're already part of the Patreon, thank you very much. If you're not part of the Patreon, think about being part of the Patreon. If you can't afford to be part of the Patreon, that's absolutely fine. Please just share, rate, subscribe and like our stuff where possible. We appreciate every single person that listens to this and helps us in any way. Thank you.
Yes, thank you very much. But as Sean said, we do talk a lot of bollocks, but I enjoy it.
It's lots of bollocks. Lots of bollocks.
But tell you what's not bollocks.
Yeah, go on. Sorry about it. I was drinking. I was unprofessionally drinking during something I knew I should be recording.
Sean, 78 episodes and you haven't learned yet not to drink while we were recording. It's bad enough when you're driving.
Shut up, man. I don't need to know about the drinking and the driving.
Okay, good. Because don't do that. That was a really bad joke. But anyway, what's not bollocks is the conversation we're going to be having in just a little moment with Ben Langford Bliss.
Yes, absolute. Lovely, lovely chap. Are we ready to go into it?
I'm ready. Are you ready?
No.
Well, let me know when you're ready. And then we'll check if the listeners are ready. And then we'll be ready to press play then.
All right, we're there then. I'm ready. Go, I'm ready. Now, do it now. Sapnin. Twats.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction, and free shipping, and that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/acast and up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/acast.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Sapnin!
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 Yes! This week's guest is guitarist, songwriter, producer by his own right now.
Ooh.
With some of this. Ladies and gentlemen, this week's guest is the beautiful Ben Langford.
Yes!
How are you?
I'm good, thank you for having me and chatting.
Thanks for taking the time, man. How's things?
It's good, you know, same as everyone else, just stuck inside a lot. I live pretty central in the city, so it's like it's not like I have like countryside to go and have a nice walk or anything.
Literally stuck inside then.
Pretty much. I occasionally go and sit out on the fire escape and kind of stare over the city and
it's bonkers. Like literally 2 or 3 months ago, you would have never ever imagined anything like this, and now we're all I just sit in the house all day now. That's it.
It was so funny because I was listening to the episode you did with Burt McCracken, and you were there being like, "Oh yeah, can't wait for Slam Dunk in May. Can't wait for this." Like
all gone.
2,000 trees. It's going to be sick. And I was like listening to it the other day going, "Oh, this episode hasn't aged well."
2 weeks. 2 weeks hasn't aged well. Yeah, I'm sure. Yeah. What we should have done is recorded the last one and gone, "Oh, at least we've got Reading and Leeds to look forward to."
Yeah.
Oh, boo. Now that's gone. Yeah.
I'm just looking forward to 2021, to be honest. I think hopefully it'll be all okay by then.
We'll see. But anyway, let's stop talking about this. Yes. Let's talk about the reason we are here.
Yes.
Ben, you've got some new music that comes out today.
Yes. Congratulations.
Thank you. I'm excited for people to hear it. I didn't want to do like a long drawn out rollout, so you know, people are sitting around waiting for things to happen, so what's the point in making people wait any longer than they have to?
So of course, you know, it's a kind of birth of a new project for you called Bleak Soul. The album's come out today. It's kind of like a mini LP, 8 tracks. Tell us all about it.
I've been like wanting to do a solo record since I was about 14, and I bought a fucking hefty little 8-track recorder. This was like pre-GarageBand. And then I kind of I was probably fortunate because I listened back to some of the stuff that I made then. I'm like, oh, the world didn't need to hear this. but then I got swept up in being in a band for 8 years, and everything to do with that kind of got put on the back burner because all my writing efforts went into the band, which was cool because I got to experience a fucking hell of a lot with that. But no, it was nice just to write for myself initially. To be honest, when I came out of being an As It Is, I didn't know whether I'd ever release anything. I was just kind of writing for the fun of it, which is something I guess I'd kind of missed, because you were always kind of writing with a purpose in mind, especially in As It Is. Everything, you know, we had a concept most of the time going into stuff, so we were always like writing with something in mind, and then you're writing knowing that you're going to then tour the album for a year and a half, and then you have to take into account the fact that you're going to play it live and like how they work in that context and everything. And even if you're like, before you go into the studio, you're writing on your own, you're thinking, "Oh, will the other guys like this?" And it was kind of nice to be able to write without having to think like that. And everything kind of, I think once lockdown happened, everything kind of fell into place really quickly. I kind of suddenly had all the time in the world to finish this project. And I think if lockdown hadn't happened, it might have been another good few months until I was ready to release anything. So,
that's cool, then.
Yeah, something's good to come out of all of this, at least.
I'm glad you've been proactive, because I've just been getting fatter. That's all I've been doing.
That's been happening as well. Yeah. A lot of people are like drinking less. I'm definitely drinking more.
I've taken up drinking beer, which I've previously on other episodes of this, I've slagged off drinking beer. And now I'm drinking beer. So thank you, lockdown.
There we go.
I'm not. I'm still on the orange juice, just so everyone knows.
So he's still sober.
Yeah.
Yeah, how long have you had some of these songs or ideas for these songs?
I feel like the song I've had the longest is Hand Me Down Head. It's the penultimate track. I definitely have had that song for maybe around 2.5, maybe 3 years knocking about on a hard drive. I mean, there's a couple of like riffs that I've been essentially playing with since I first started to pick up a guitar. There's like one bit, it's actually the first opening guitar part of the whole record. And it was when I first, it's a rip off of a Fight Star thing. They have their quiet song, Unfamiliar Ceilings. And I learned how to play it and I really liked the like shapes of it.
Yeah.
And then I kind of, in the past 10 years, I've just been learning how to do those shapes and play it differently and alter it. And I've probably written about 7 versions of that song over the years.
Okay.
And I finally settled on one. I was like, okay, yeah, this is the one. I'm going to keep it like this. But yeah, I think originally it was just going to be like 4 songs I was going to put out. And then suddenly I had this like mad week where like 3 new songs just like fell out my head. And that doesn't happen to me all that often. So it felt really good. And it felt like okay, this needs to be something more than just like putting out 4 songs for the sake of it. And then conceptually it kind of all came together as well.
Okay.
So yeah.
Oh, nice. Yeah, because listen to it already. It seems that there's so many different kind of styles and influences and just vibes of the tracks as well. Because, you know, it starts off quite gloomy and you don't know where it's going to go. And then there's just tops and tails, so many different experiences. Was that something that just came naturally for you? Or was it something you really wanted Bleak Soul to be?
Yeah, I mean, so one of my favorite bands of all time is Eels. Most people know them as the people that had that one song in the Shrek soundtrack. Or, if you're me, they did the theme song for Monkey Dust. Don't know if you've watched Monkey Dust.
No. No, I haven't. Oh, okay,
You should watch Monkey Dust. It's a 2003 British, like satirical, borderline offensive comedy. So it makes South Park look like it's made for kids. You know,
wow. Yeah, how do I not know about that then?
It wouldn't get made now. And if you watch that and then you look at the artwork for the record, you'll see kind of where the inspiration of that comes. It isn't an offensive comedy. It's a satirical take on Britain at the time.
Yeah.
But Eels, just, they're one of those bands that there's one guy, but you know, other people come in and out of the band. So that's something that I feel like this project could be. I don't foresee it being me all the time. Like, I'm open to collaborations, but also just the diversity of it. You know, I'm super into like kind of Nick Cave and murder ballads and stuff like that. But obviously just grew up listening to emo and Taking Back Sunday and, you know, Mike Hem and Sayerson and stuff. So it is just having the freedom to take in all those weird influences that maybe wouldn't have fit in as it is, but I don't really have any restrictions on myself.
Okay.
Yeah.
You know, I'm like, oh, this song is so different from any of the other songs on the record, but it didn't really matter. I kind of wanted to set that out initially from the off, that there's like going to be a range of vibes, like, so that if I decide I want to put out a fucking country song, I can, you know, because I also love country music. Haven't delved into that quite yet, but
well, that could be the remix version of the album.
Country emo. Yeah. Fine.
I was always because obviously we were on Fearless Records. I was always one I wanted them to do was Punk Goes Country, and they never did it. Like we would have loved to do that. So
I think how many metalcore bands now would like jump on. They'd all be like, I want to do Old Town Road. And you're like, that's not country. No. Leave it out, will you?
You can't just put Billy Ray Cyrus's name on something and call it country.
But mentioning all that as well, of course, this release is completely independent. As you said, you've recorded and produced and done basically everything with it. Is that kind of giving you more of a sense of freedom compared to anything you've ever done before? Because with As It Is, as you said, everything was so, you had a concept most of the time of everything, and being on the label, you just had to get things done straight away.
Yeah. I mean, it was, you know, you have to work to a time frame, you know, you're like, we've blocked this time to write, and then we know we're going into the studio. And if you haven't written enough songs by then, well, you're fucked. You know, I didn't have a set release date. It was basically a case of finish it and then I'll just put it out and I can do that. And, you know, I can do cool things such as not really do a long rollout and release one single and release the whole record the week later because I can. Like, I think, you know, I'm never going to be opposed to working with a producer. I think there's really something special about working with someone who is essentially outside of the project and having that different kind of perspective and different set of ears. But for me, coming out of being in a band and being in a collective for 5 years, it was really important to me to just do everything myself, purely from a self-satisfaction point of view, to know that I could. And, you know, I am well aware that I'm not the best producer in the world. You know, that this whole record was made on a fucking 2012 MacBook Pro that struggles to operate at the best of times. And when you're trying to run 85 tracks of audio with God knows how many plugins on, it's hard to listen to more than like 5 seconds at a time. Yeah. So,
that's crazy.
I've got to give props to our sound guy, Matt, who did absolutely upgrade the fuck out of my MacBook and make it run a lot smoother. So that, you know, he put in an extra hard drive and we swapped out a load of stuff and it's made it
nice.
Manage Logic a lot better.
Yeah, that's cool. I think a lot of people who listen to this, they don't really hear this side of it. Like, they don't hear they just think, oh, he's recorded an album, he must have all the gear, you know, he's just got it all there.
I can show you, look, here we go. I've got my mic here,
nice.
I've got a little keyboard and like two guitars, and that's pretty much it. Got some like little fucking toy organ here that I found for a tenner on Gumtree. So nice,
bargain hunt there.
Yeah, literally minimal gear, like a one input interface, one MIDI keyboard, some very reasonably priced monitors. Like, I spend more on plugins, to be honest, than I do on actual gear and hardware. So,
yeah. Yeah, but sounding really good with all that anyway. And as I mentioned, it seems like you've really combined a lot of different styles. So I'm sure you're just ecstatic to see everyone's reaction now.
Yeah, I think it's going to be interesting. I think there's going to be some people that like kind of know me in a way and know that my influences now aren't in necessarily like the scene or the world but As It Is came from.
Mm-hmm.
I think there'll be a lot of people that don't expect it to sound the way that it did. So, I'm intrigued. Like, ultimately, at this point, when you're just doing a project like this, it was please myself first. And if other people like it, that's sick. Love it. But I know that I'm not going to please every, I don't know, expectation of As It Is fans about it. And that's fine. You know, because As It Is still exists. So, you know, it's the best of both worlds for some people.
Yeah, and I had noticed that you've been sending a couple of early copies of the records to the guys in As It Is. Foley especially has been really excited about it. What has their reaction been?
Yeah, reaction's been really, really good so far from everyone that I've sent it to. Foley seemed to love it. I was on the phone to him the other week. Ali as well got he's up north, so I got a right good from him. I can't do the accent, so
right good.
I speak to them pretty regularly, to be honest. I was on a FaceTime to Ron the other day, just catching up. I think they're all just really excited for me. I think if anything, they were surprised. Foley was just like, I can't believe you had so much like material. I was like, yeah, it just kind of came out of nowhere, a lot of it. No. So I didn't expect to have that much either. So someone pointed out as well, I was like, I'm releasing or will have released the first single to the day 6 months from my last As It Is show, which is pure coincidence. I hadn't planned that.
Wow, that's weird. Yeah. That's weird.
But I think 6 months is a pretty reasonable turnaround time to...
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
That's why I asked how long have you had some of that material, because, yeah, it's just... Yeah, it's 6 months and you've got these tracks now, and I'm excited for you, brother. I think I think it's going to be accepted very, very well.
Yeah, I hope so. I'm intrigued. Is this like this new level of anxiety? There's putting out a record when five people are kind of shouldering the weight of it, and then there's putting out a record where you are the only one responsible for it. Yeah. And I've had to, like, because now I've obviously like submitted it to iTunes and Spotify and everything, and it's gone. I can't change it now. And I'm like, well, I'm too scared to listen to it in case I hear something that I don't, you know, that I want to change. But that's just me. Like, you get into that, don't you? I'm sure you've learned. It's like, when's something finished? When is something ever finished? Like, I could in theory work on those like forever. Like I said, the song that I had the longest, well, the whole song that I had the longest, Hand Me Down Head, I went through about three different versions, three different vibes of that, and ended up going with the first original one because I just started getting inside my own head and trying to like overcomplicate it. And sometimes it's better just to go with your gut. Like the last track, the last acoustic track, is just a one mic live take, like no pitch correction, nothing. And it was like maybe the second take I did of it, playing in one go. And it was like, I was like, I could probably do it better, but I don't know whether it would have quite the same raw vibe.
Yeah. Sometimes you just get magic when you record in. And sometimes, like, even I remember back doing stuff with the Blackout when like I would do a take wrong, but there was something that the producer was like, no, but that's giving it a bit more emotion or whatever. So I completely get what you mean. It's just the magic. Like, yeah, you could be known as Ben Two Takes.
I've never been known as that before. So, but yeah, there's, you know, you can change a lot of things. Like, you know, you can always change pitch in if you're a little flat or a little sharp in production and stuff, but you can't fake the emotion. You can't put that into it. And that was something that I learned during the Great Depression with Machine. You know, he was always vibe above perfection.
Yeah.
You know? And that was like my favorite As It Is record to record, like as an experience, and learned so much that I tried to then take into my little studio.
Was that your first time working with Machine then, for the Great Depression? Nice. And how was he as a person?
An absolute nutter is the best way to describe him, in the best way possible. He's just, I mean, the last day we almost burnt the whole village down. did a massive bonfire. I mean, he had a flamethrower that we'd set fire, and there was a fire ban on, basically. So it was really dry, and the fire caught. Fire department turned up, and they were like, you're not supposed to have a fire. They let Foley have a go with the hose. It was...
Sounds a good day overall.
Well, I remember Patty just drove off because Patty was getting really annoyed because it was like what we were going to do to celebrate the end of recording the record. It was the last day, but he still had some vocals to do, and it was a premature celebration. I think he ended up just doing them the following morning before we flew out, like the last ones. But yeah, that was literally, the fire department turned up, and like half of us just like ran inside scared that we were going to like get in massive trouble, or like the police would turn up because we'd like set fire to dripping springs. So,
oh wow.
I advise, it's funny, I watched because Rome just did their record with him as well, and I just watched the documentary they did, and I just missed being in that barn so much. There's something really special about that place.
Yeah, I've heard a lot of good things about it. So
yeah, he's honestly, I'd happily work with him as a solo artist. I'd be really intrigued to see what he like gets out of me, because he works, you know, he's worked with everyone from like, you know, Lamb of God, but he also started kind of in like 90s, early 2000s hip hop and electronic music and stuff. So his range of influence is so vast that I'm sure it would fit the vast range of influences that I'm putting into Bleak Soul. So
yeah, let's talk about As It Is a little bit more. You know, you said it's 6 months since the last time you played with the band. When did you know you were going to leave, and how did that whole process kind of pan out?
So the moment I decided, like fully decided, we were on a festival run in June last year. I think we were in France somewhere, and I was kind of standing outside of a hotel, and I was like, I think we'd played somewhere really, really weird in France. I think it was like Nancy or something. Like the festivals we played that tour were cool, but there was just something not quite hitting for me. And previous tours we'd done to that, we had a 3-month block that was just back to back. It was like we did a month and a half around America. We had 24 hours at home, and then we went out and we did 3 weeks around the UK, had like a week at home, and then did a month around Europe and then to Shikari. And that fucking like killed me. It was like a brutal amount of time to be away from home. And that wasn't a really good time for me. And then we got like a couple of months at home, and I went on that festival tour, and it just started to feel kind of like I'd achieved everything that I was going to. Like it felt like going through the motions a bit. It was starting to increasingly become harder and harder to put everything you have into a show, like being completely honest about it. Like that was always really easy for me. Even if I was having a shit day, you know, the show was the one redeeming factor of the day. And I just started to kind of lose grip of that. I remember having quite a few conversations with different band members on that tour and stuff. And we got home from that tour. We kind of had a week to decompress, and then I asked the guys to meet up in London. And I don't think any of them were like shocked or surprised at all, and were all very supportive. I mean, some of them were even like, they were just like, you know, if you want to still be in the band, but like not tour, kind of essentially like, I don't know, like Andrew Wade in A Day to Remember, where he still like writes with them and stuff. And I kind of thought that would be too confusing for me mentally to like be part, like to be kind of half in something. And yeah, and I think I might have said to you at Gunnersville, originally Gunnersville was going to be the last show that I did. I said to them that day, I was like, Gunnersville is going to be my last show. And then we went and had a meeting with management to let them know in their offices. And as Patty said, it was like, look, do you really want your last show to be like a 25 minute set, second on the bill of a festival? And I was like, not ideally, no. And we'd had a Europe booked planned, Europe tour booked, and we kind of altered it so that it included the UK as well. And they're like, will you do like one more week of shows with us? I was like, yeah, that sounds good. You know, beneficial for both of us. You know, I got a bit more closure out of it rather than just kind of leaving a midday festival slot. You know, got to see a lot more fans, and they got to say goodbye as well. And I'm really glad I did it. I'm really glad I did those last shows. It just kind of meant that there was like a weird 4-month period between deciding to leave and then doing the last tour, where it was like, I'm not in the band, but I haven't finished yet. So, you know, I wasn't including myself in any kind of like future discussions, but I knew that I had a tour coming up. So that was like a slightly weird period where I was kind of just waiting for this closure. And it kind of like put off kind of the sense of like, I don't know, I'm sure you can relate, Sean, like once I finished that last show, the next month was pretty horrendous.
Oh yes, I was in limbo. Yeah, I literally didn't. Stupidly, I never ever thought of a contingency plan. Despite being in a band for 13 years, I basically thought it would go on forever. So when the boys said that they wanted to knock it on the head, and then so I was just like, I was. But the problem was with us, we knew that we had an EP coming out called Wolves, and I was so convinced that when people heard that EP, that we'd be bigger than ever, and then these boys won't quit the band, we'll be laughing, we'll be touring forever. Yeah, so we played that last show, and then I was like, oh, that is literally it, that's,
yeah.
What do I do now? And yeah, for a month to probably about 3 months, I was just completely lost.
Yeah, I started having these things of being like, oh, have I fucked up here? Have I made the wrong decision? I mean, the guys have only done 7 shows since they went to Australia and Japan, and like, I had another like wobble then because I was like, you know, seeing bits on Instagram of them playing shows for the first time without me. But I was kind of also okay with that. And then Corona happened and no one's playing shows anyway. So, it was just a weird few months, like that, the whole of 2019, you know, that had a really weird start to the year. You know, it was like the start of that 3-month touring period. Like we ended the last year headlining the Forum in London. And then we started the next year, like a month later, playing a kind of quarter full venue to maybe like 80 people in a venue in LA. And it was just like this being brought back down to earth thing where, like you said, Sean, like when we did the Great Depression, we were like, this is gonna take us places that we've never been before. In the UK, it did, you know, we got to play the headline the Forum, we got to play main stage Slam Dunk, you know, main stage 2000 Trees, we got to do some really cool things. But I don't know, we kept trying America, and if anything, it kept getting more and more demoralizing. Especially in comparison, it was like the UK kept going up and America kept going down. And I don't know what it was that wasn't connecting. And you know, to go and do the tours are obviously a lot longer. So you know, to go away for 2 months and to feel like that started to really wear me down, you know, to miss out on so many other things back home, and that feeling really started to accumulate. I don't want to sound ungrateful to American friends, by the way.
No, but again, I think this is the behind the scenes that people don't know. They just think it's all cushy and it's all easy to do, and oh my god, all you gotta do is play the shows, and you're like, yeah, it's a lot more than that. It's missing out on things as much as it is doing things.
Yeah.
It's, it can be terrifying. It can be super, like, even though sometimes you're with your best friends, you can be the loneliest person in the world.
Oh, yeah. I mean, we played a show in Budapest on that Enter Shikari tour. Great show. Amazing show. Was having a literal full-on breakdown about 20 minutes before the show. But people don't see that. And people don't realize that. And yet, you know, still have to kind of, like, go out and on stage and play that part for 30 minutes, you know?
Yeah. It seems that, and I think a lot of fans, you know, don't really see that side of it, but it does seem that a lot of the kind of business side and the wearing of touring and having to think of all this other stuff rather than just, you know, everyone knows that you guys were the best of friends and you got on, so that wasn't a factor, but it does really seem that the business side of the music industry really affected your decision.
Yeah, well, that too. Yeah, you know, you reach, you know, kind of only a couple of years off 30 now. So you start, you know, you go away for 3 months and you come back and you're like, sometimes you do a tour and you go into it being like, oh, we're going to make a lot of money on this tour. And you come away and you're like, where did all the money go? Like, where did it go? And because then you've got to survive for the next 2 months off tour. And, you know, quite honestly, being on tour is the only thing that really brings in any decent money being in a band. So I think that's half the reason I'm kind of excited to go like fully independent, is to be able to see what I can do without giving 20% here or this person taking a cut.
You've also got complete creative control then as well. So that's...
Yeah. I mean, we as a band always had complete creative control, which was nice. Our label didn't really get involved because from the off, we were kind of just did what we want. We were always a band that was like, here is the record, put it out, essentially. But I remember you guys went independent. You did crowdsourcing and stuff at the end, didn't you?
Yeah, I think we were like the second people to do like a Kickstarter after Charlie Simpson did one.
Ah, okay.
And yeah, that was daunting at first because we saw it like everybody else did when it first came out. We were like, is this like begging your fans?
Yeah.
And then when we had it explained to us by the people from Kickstarter, and they were like, well, no, it's just them paying for the record in advance, pretty much. Or, you know, they get to do experiences. Like, literally, the Blackout, they said to us, right, here's a list of all the things you can do. Is it, you know, take off anything you don't want to do. And we were like, yes, we won't look at that list. We'll do anything. And then we went, do you know what? We haven't been to the zoo for a while. Can we add going to the zoo with the Blackout to this, one of these options? And we were like, if nobody buys them, it doesn't matter. If somebody buys them, we get to go to the zoo. We had a fantastic day out with 20 people. It was amazing.
I love that.
But yeah, it's like, yeah, it's just so, it can be so daunting, especially like, because like we had some major labels interested in us after The Best in Town. And yeah, we pretty much gave them the record hope, and they were like, oh, this is cool. Could you do two more singles? And we were like, what? And they were like, oh, we need to write two more singles, like poppier singles. And we were like,
no.
No. Yeah. That's not going to happen. So, yeah, it can be really demoralizing. And then you think, like, I remember thinking, we had hope, and I was like, this is awesome. We sent it to the labels. Loads of labels loved it. And then, yeah, to you, can you add two more singles, though? And we were like, oh, what? This isn't the record we thought it was then. And it was just heartbreaking.
Yeah, yeah. I know you mentioned Pledge there. Because I was looking at options, obviously, when I was kind of working out what I was going to do. Pledge has gone under.
Yeah, it has.
I didn't realize that.
We did. We did one with Kickstarter, and we did one with Pledge. Oh no, we might have done two with Kickstarter, one with Pledge, and this was prior to Pledge going under and stealing loads of people's money.
Is that
allegedly?
What happened?
Allegedly,
I don't really know
what to say.
Yeah, but looking back on my final tour as well, I mean, since that 6 months, obviously you've been busy behind the scenes working on these songs and stuff, but you've been very quiet kind of on social media, and I think a lot of fans were wondering what was going to happen next and stuff. In that time, was it just literally trying to reflect but move on and just kind of find life outside of the band?
Yeah, I started to want to make a conscious decision that I didn't want to necessarily share as much of my personal life anymore. I kind of started to become a bit more of a private person. And beyond that, I just found it a massive distraction. I'd always be on Twitter chiming in about some political issue, you know, shouting into the echo chamber, essentially, you know, not really actually achieving anything other than getting, you know, some likes and retweets. And I started to kind of question the point in that. So I kind of just took myself off it, kind of just tried to live as kind of normal a life as I could in a kind of post-band world, just kind of reflected on it, spent a lot more time with friends and family that I hadn't seen a lot of for the past 7 years. And yeah, just try and focus on what's next. And here we are, 6 months later. Didn't actually take that as long as I thought it would. So that's good. But yeah, it's weird being back on social media for me now. I'm like, oh, I kind of feel a bit inauthentic about it, because I'm like, oh, I'm only back because I have something new to promote. But ultimately, I started getting to a point where I was like, does the internet really need to hear another straight white male's opinion on anything? like, what am I achieving by being on the internet, voicing my opinion on the world? So there's plenty of other people doing that.
But no, but it is good to see you back, you know, both musically and online and everything like that. And I'm sure a lot of people are going to be very excited for these new songs, though.
Yeah, I hope so. Thank you for the kind words on them.
One thing I do have to mention, though, on that last As It Is tour, I gutted we didn't get to go to one, because looking at the photos, it seemed you had a jolly time because you got to play every single instrument at one point.
I did, yes, I did. I did front manning. played drums, which was, I'm a right-handed drummer and Foley is left-handed, so that was very difficult. So I was playing on a left-handed kit. But yeah, it was, we didn't take that tour very seriously at all. It was just a laugh with your mates, basically.
What was the name of the tour? I remember that being funny.
It was Ben Today, Gone Tomorrow.
Wow.
Yeah.
I do love a good funny tour name.
Gotta love a pun. Yeah. I'm so happy I did that tour. It was such a laugh. And it kind of felt like those first tours you do where you just don't, there's no production or whatever. You don't care about anything. You just kind of turn up and do the bits you have to do for the day, but everything else is just having a laugh with your mates. And we made the show like that because we started, you know, for so long, we've been a band that, like, you know, we play to tracks and stuff, and that kind of takes the spontaneity out of it, or like did for a while. And then we managed to find a way that, like, we could play with it. So, you know, we'd play a different song every night, or we did a couple of songs not to track so that I could then just, we could just swap instruments and stuff and just do whatever. So yeah, it was really fun. So
I'm glad that you did that last tour and didn't just call it quits at Gunnersville. Cause yeah, I think you would have regretted not getting to say those goodbyes.
I think so as well. Yeah.
And seeing those crowds as well and getting,
Yeah, doing that at Dingwalls, that last show, was just, I look over to side stage and everyone is crying. Like, every person I know is crying. Like, even Chris Cole, our backline tech, who is the most, like, non-emotional person in the world, shed a little tear. So, it was a roller coaster of emotions that night. So,
what was it like backstage as soon as the set finished?
Well, I don't know whether do you know what the backstage of Dingwalls is like? It's a cupboard. So trying to fit, it's the smallest green room in the world. I think we had about 50 people, maybe 60 people on guest list. And trying to, like, navigate and fit everyone backstage is ridiculous. It was just, I mean, I thought there was champagne, and then it turned into an emo night, and I was just like, literally just had a whole bottle of sparkling wine on stage, dancing to emo songs, just didn't care. I was absolutely gone by that point. That was the drunkest I've been in a long time. I think I left a hole in a hotel room that night, but we never got charged for it. So, you know, I've never
don't
really
mention
been,
where the hotel is.
No, I've never been that rock and roll. So last day I did, I think I just got out of bed and accidentally kicked my foot through the wall. I was that drunk. So yeah.
Oh, perfect.
It was a night. Yeah.
Good, good. And with Bleak Soul now, obviously, what is the kind of, how are you going to be treating this now? Is it just when you have things ready or able to play shows after all this that you're just going to try and work it around other things in your life? Or is it going out as another full-blown project?
I want it to be like a pretty full, you know, that would be the dream, to be able to make it a full-time thing. Obviously the industry is kind of at a halt, so it isn't going to be for a while, but yeah, I don't think that will be the only release that I put out this year. I've already started working on new stuff. Ooh. And covers and stuff like that. So I think it's just going to be a very eclectic, varied mix of stuff going out, whether it's a song here and there, whether it's an EP, whether it's an album, whether it's a covers album, who knows? But I'm just kind of, I mean, I haven't really got much else on at the moment. So I'm filling my time with that. And then, yeah, I definitely do want to do shows when we are allowed to be at shows again.
Okay. Well, I have seen online that you've been saying you've been talking to some friends about a possible live band when you're allowed to play gigs again. Could you tell us who you've been talking to? Or
A mixture of familiar and unfamiliar faces. So I will go as far as that, because nothing is set in stone. So I don't want to set the rumor mills quite yet.
It's fine. Me and Sean will come and play your backing band for you. It'll be fine.
Sounds good.
We're in.
Yeah. Any of you play horns? I'm missing like horn players, string players.
Triangle.
Yeah. There's
tambourine. Sean's good on a tambourine.
I can DJ. Do you need a scratch DJ?
Oh, yeah. Maybe the next record I'll do a bit.
There hasn't been a good scratch DJ on a record for quite some time.
No, there hasn't. No.
Oh, what we should do is what you should do is just put out there, just make a rumor up right now. For example, I heard that Brian May is going to play guitar for you. And then just by putting that out there, maybe that gets back to him and he's like, I'm going to check his boy out. So, yeah, I can't believe Brian May's in your band.
I can't believe that either.
I know. There's going to be a lot of hair going on in Bleak's Hole.
Yeah, you wouldn't want to use those showers in those venues after you two. It's going to be fully blocked.
Oh, my God. Yeah. Add Tony Iommi into that. And then, yeah, it's going to be ridiculous. But, yeah, that's the one thing I'm struggling with. I've grown a beard. Obviously, the podcast is not visual, but we're visual. I've grown a beard, and because I've got long hair, it keeps like sticking to it, like Velcro.
I get that problem, yeah.
And I'll look in the mirror, and I've suddenly like got this going on, and I'm just like, oh, for God's sake.
Especially when it's windy. When you go outside and it's windy, it's all over the shop.
It's ridiculous, but yeah, it's been keeping my face warm.
I feel left out, dear boys. Come here, it's not long enough.
No.
But yeah, thanks for doing this, Ben.
No, it's been great to talk.
It's been awesome. It's been really insightful, and yeah, good luck with the record. I'm sure it's going to do very, very well.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, everybody listening to this, check out Bleak's Hole. It's fantastic.
Yeah, where can people pre-order a copy of the vinyl and other things for the project?
Pre-order the vinyl at bleaksoul.limitedrun.com. And then have a Bandcamp, bleaksoul.bandcamp.com, if you're into digital. And then just my Instagrams. I was going to get Bleak Soul Instagrams, but I figured why try and get 30,000 followers to try and switch over to a new thing. So at Ben Langford Biss on socials. So
nice.
There you go.
Happy days. Yeah. Yeah, thanks so much, man. It's been great to talk and see you.
Really nice to talk to you guys.
Yeah, let's speak again soon, and keep us updated with how everything's going, and congratulations.
All right. Thank you very much. I'll speak to you guys soon. You're listening
to Sabin Podcast! Yes!
Wicked. I like Ben a lot. Ben, thank you so, so much for doing this. Good luck with the album. Everybody, when you finish listening to this, and only when you finish listening to this, go and check out Ben's album.
Yes, I'm so glad we got time with him. I thought this conversation opened up the mindset, and not only to like the record and everything going on with Bleak Soul, but just the music industry as a whole. Because we did touch on a lot of things I don't think regular music listeners kind of realize, even myself included.
Yeah, oh, definitely. Well, that's the thing. It's like, that's what I like about doing these podcasts is it's a look behind the curtain, I suppose, of what musicians go through and think. And, you know, not everybody's the super confident soul they are on stage or whatever when they're just jamming out. Especially when you're putting out solo music as well, because, like, you know, you think it's all on you and you take that pressure. Whereas when I was in a band or whatever, I had five other people I could blame if nobody liked it. But yeah, that's not going to be the case with Ben's stuff. Ben's stuff is awesome. Thanks again for coming on. And yeah, don't be No need to be worried or anxious about it. I'm sure it'll do very, very well.
Yeah, me and Sean have both been listening to it. It's very good. We highly recommend it. And of course, Bleak Soul's debut album, Existential Meditation, is available now on all streaming services. And head over to his Bandcamp, where you can pre-order vinyls, CD copies of the record, or pay for it and get the audio as well. I'm sure he'd appreciate that. So yeah, go and check out everything Bleak Soul related with Ben.
Yes, what Morgan said, do that.
But you know, again, I just really enjoyed that conversation. And you know, I know we've just mentioned how like a weird experience it must be, but especially opening up on the Leaving As It Is side. And like we've talked to a lot of bands where they've broken up and stuff in the past, and like, you know, yourself, Sean, Alid from Kids in Glass Houses, Sam from Mallory Knox, even Stu from Prophets and everything like that, where they've had to move on from their bands and it's ended. Yeah. Where it's got to be such a weird time for Ben, especially when he knows As It Is still exists without him, but he's put that to bed himself.
Yeah, but I also think what Ben's done is awesome. Like, getting back out there and getting straight on it. And like he said, he wasn't expecting it to be this quick, but I think that's probably the best thing. Because, like, to be honest, with the hindsight I had now, when the Blackout finished in 2015, I wish I'd gone straight into trying working on another band rather than wait, like, nearly 5 years before playing again. Like, But good luck to Ben. Again, congratulations on the album. Congratulations on getting it done. Awesome. Good luck with it, brother.
Yeah, and 6 months is a hell of a turnaround, so massive congratulations. And yeah, just make sure to go and check it out. And while you're checking things out, of course, make sure that you are following our social media accounts at Sapling Pod on Twitter and Instagram. But if you're like me and struggle with spelling massively, I did a pub quiz online thing the other day and there was a round of spelling and I had nothing right. So Sean is going to tell you how to spell Sapling Pod.
At the number 7. Exclamation mark 1 x 9 the at symbol again. No, it's at Sapening Pod, at SAPPENINPOD. That's at SAPPENINPOD.
Ooh, you've changed your little song for it.
I just, you know, I spit flows, don't I? Just, you know, one of the world's greatest unsigned rappers.
Interesting. Yes, but make sure you follow us. Give us a tweet. Give us a like. Give us free tweets. All that malarkey. Put us in your Instagram stories and suggest guests you'd like to hear on future episodes of the podcast. But while you're checking all that out as well, make sure to head over to patreon.com/sapnin and get involved with our loving community.
Yeah, if you've enjoyed the other episodes or this episode and fancy helping out and supporting us, check out patreon.com/sapnin. There's loads of stuff to choose from, but mainly you become part of a community of people who are absolutely amazing. So
yes, yeah. And you automatically become one of my top humans because everyone in that group is fan bloody tastic, as Gary Barlow would say. And speaking of people who are fan bloody tastic, Sean's looking at me very weirdly because I've mentioned Gary Barlow. But head to the description of this episode. There's loads of names we need to thank, and we need to give a mahoosive special thank you shout out to the elite members of our Patreon community, which are the top tiers. And Sean's gonna tell you them now.
I'm kind of lost, to be honest, because Gary Barlow.
Yeah,
why did you bring up tax dodger Gary Barlow?
Allegedly.
No, not allegedly.
I know, but
actually,
yeah, but at the same time,
do you know what? If he wants to come for us, let him come for us. If Gary Barlow wants to sue us, let him sue us. Nobody tag him in any tweets or make him aware of this, for God's sake. We cannot afford to fight Gary Barlow in a case. Anyway, thank you very much to the elite members of our Patreon, who are as follows. Thank you very much: Mayumi Liwiwei, Kylie. I ordered Adam Levine on Wish and they sent me John Finley instead. Wheeler. I don't know who John Finley is. Mitch Perry, Bert, Amy Chilvers. I bought some... I bought some shoes from a drug dealer. I don't know what he laced them with, but I was tripping all day. Amadine Urbana, Emma Barber, Dana Lasnova, Samantha Spray. Yeah, they call me Shani B. I run this shit like cardio. Kelly isn't old, she's young. Nathan Croshaw, Dilly, I've got a date with a 4-foot snake, Grimwood. That sounds pervy. Michael Englert, Kelly Irwin. Drew. I don't know. Look, I don't understand the syncopation he wants me to say that in. I'm sorry. Tom Owen, Kate Puttock, Simon Amos, Amy Maxin, the dancing champion, Kate Stevenson, Jenny Masturbation is Critical, Munster, L. DeBarge Douglas, Emily Senegals, Lucy Deeds, James Oakley, Martina McManus, John and Emma, Erin Howard, Becky, can someone please make Paul buy me a goat, please, Mayoko, Louis Cook, my favourite Patreon, Spunky Boy, he wrote my favourite Patreon, right, so he's up there though. Sarah Stewart, Marcy Jacobson, Mike Cunningham, Jamie O'Jamie, Sandra Kuchachuk, again, tell me if I'm wrong, I probably am, Padraig Wakefield Newbury, Sean Smith, Mo Dick Sapnin. I've looked at you dead in the eye after reading that. Sean Smith, Mo Dick Sapnin. Nice one. Scott thinks Morgs knows this week's hashtag should be hashtag Giant Flaps Jones. Giant Flap Jones, that's hashtag, that's what we're having then. Livy Cropper, Lydia Henderson, James McNaught, Amy Thomas, Tallulah Grant, Samuel Griffiths, Stuart McNaught, Jenny Robson, Paul, the only goat Becky will get from me is Goatsy Hirschfield. Do you know what Goatsy is, Morg? You don't need to know, it's for the past internet people. Tony Michael, Sarah James, Kelly Cannon, Ollie Amesbury, Kelly, there can be only one Mallory. We're going to have a Kelly off. We got a Kelly off. Jordan Burchard, and last but no means least, Mo Dick's seductive rapping eyebrow. Thank you very much to all of those maniacs.
Just what? The one eyebrow?
Mo Dick's seductive rapping eyebrow. Just the one.
I don't know what that means now.
Put your head close to the camera. Is it filled in the middle?
No, I've been plucking it.
Have you? Do you pluck the middle of it?
Yeah, you look after the whole thing. You got to pluck your eyebrows and your beard. I get some weird hairs and stuff everywhere.
I'm not
manscaping,
saying
don't, but not in that way.
Yeah, I never do the middle. Okay. That's the first I've heard of it. Yeah, I've done do the middle. Yeah. You do the middle, do you?
Yeah, yeah. Oh, have you seen my hair? How much hair I have on top of my head? I get hair like my. Let's not go into it. Yeah.
Thank you very much to those people. Sorry you had to think about Morgan's AD body and ball bag.
No one was thinking that until you said it. But thank you very much to everyone who is a Patreon. We love you very, very much. Thank you to everyone listening to this. We love you as well. And we love Ben for coming on. Hashtag of the week. Are we going with that or not?
Yeah, may as well, innit? Giant Flaps Jones, because he wanted Giant Flaps, but I'm going to add his surname on it, so he's now going to be known as Scott Giant Flaps Jones.
Okay, hashtag
Giant Flaps Jones. Giant Flaps Jones.
Okay, in all of the posts that you share this podcast, and please share it very, very much.
Yeah, so thank you very much from me, Mo Dick, a.k.a. Morgan Richards, a.k.a. Fluffy Bum. This has been episode 78... episode 79 is next week, because that's how numbers work.
Yes, it does. And before we go, just to mention, I know this weekend it was supposed to be the start of festival season with Slam Dunk originally.
Boo.
We're all a bit sad. I'm sorry if I have upset you by saying that sentence, but why not relive all of last year's festivals with our previous episodes? We did Slam Dunk 2000 Trees, Download and Reading at Leeds last year. We even went to Gunnersville, as Ben mentioned. So you've got plenty of episodes to go back and check out. And I believe this weekend is actually the 11th year anniversary of The Best in Town, Sean.
Oh, is it? Oh, tidy. Great album. Check it out. The Best in Town by The Blackout. Also, when you mentioned Gunnersville earlier, that's where Ben told us he was leaving As It Is before he left. They announced it. Anyway, thank you very much again. Please never die. Hope you're very well. Send your mother my love. Don't be sick. Keep your tongue out. See you later. Morgan, shave your ass.
Fuck's sake.
Sapnin!
Oh, sapnin.
No, say it properly.
Sapnin! You happy now?
I am now.
You're listening to Sapnin Podcast with Sean Smith and Morgan Richards. Thank you very much for downloading this podcast or streaming it, or I don't know what else you do with podcasts. Thank you very much.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too.
Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.